the platform. Step up and speak out.
Good evening. It is the platform. I am Annalisa Dube. We are broadcasting live in our Newland studios in Harare. So do get in touch with us. Our WhatsApp number is 0731-168-045. And we are also available on the social media platforms at ZFM Stereo on Facebook and on Twitter. Now, according to the Zimbabwe National Statistics Agency, as we all know it as ZIMSTAT, the country's literacy rate stands at 94%, which is the highest in Africa. However, other reports such as UNESCO have suggested that several other sub-Saharan African countries have higher literacy rates, such as Equatorial Guinea and South Africa. But you know what? We can always argue about statistics, but it is undeniable that Zimbabwe has a reputable educational background. Now, this evening, we are joined by one of the key ministries at the center of Zimbabwe education. And in studio with me, I have the Minister of Higher and Tertiary Education, Science and Technology Development, Professor Amon Murira. Good evening, Honorable, and welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mona Lisa. Good evening, everybody.
All right, so I always want to start with basics in the program, Honorable, and not to make assumptions. What is the mandate of your ministry as the Ministry of Higher and Tertiary Education, Science and Technology Development?
Our mandate is basically to educate people at higher and tertiary levels, as well as link this to science and technology development for the purpose of modernizing and industrializing our nation.
Okay. And do you have any targets? I understand that we have the president has said that Zimbabwe is going to be an upper middle income country by 2030. What
yes.
role does your ministry play in this?
In actual fact, the ministry plays a very central role. In the first place, Mona Lisa, you are talking to me like that because you passed through our tertiary institution.
That is true. Two of
so
them, I've got to
The fact is that education is at the center of development. So what we have done as a ministry is to make sure that we have practically put education, higher and tertiary education, at the center of Zimbabwe's modernization and industrialization agenda. And this is how. First of all, we have a goal which says education must produce goods and services. For education that cannot produce goods and services is education that is useless.
Mm-hmm.
So, in order to do that, we have actually converted our education from three missions, which are teaching, research and community service or consultancy, which were the three missions, and I call that education 3.0.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of education that we had, which has got that high literacy rate that you are talking about, produces articles, and articles for teaching, and articles for consultancy. It has not been directed to produce goods and services. So we have converted this to what we call education 5.0 to make sure that we incorporate innovation and industrialization within the agenda of higher and tertiary education institutions. For if you look at it, education 5.0 comes from teaching, research, consultancy, innovation, industrialization, which basically means now the universities and polytechnics and teachers' colleges have a full mandate, and we ask them to produce something. That's what we do.
Okay, so your ministry oversees the universities, state universities, and polytechnics as well as teachers' colleges.
It looks at all universities, state, non-state, whether they are colleges, whether they are universities. We control the way these institutions function.
Okay, do they report to you, like the private institutions, especially?
Yes, we control their syllabus. We might not give them money, but surely we give them directions, because the issue is they train Zimbabwean brains, and we want to assure that a Zimbabwean brain is trained properly. So whoever is functioning within our education system has to make sure that their education is aligned to the development goals of this country.
Okay, what is your relationship with the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education?
All right. If there is the source of the river and there is the end of the river, we are at the end of the river. We are the ministry which actually absorbs students that come from the primary and secondary education. So our relationship is strong, and it's basically, we cannot pontificate about it. It's a natural relationship.
Okay. Do you also share the education 5.0 that you just narrated to us together with the Minister of Primary and Secondary Education, or they also have a separate mandate that you then gel together to produce great graduates?
We work together, but let me just tell you, just like I was reminding you, that everybody passes through the higher and tertiary education system. Everybody who is working in the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education is a product of the Ministry of Higher and Tertiary Education. The teachers, the headmasters, including the ministers, including myself.
So you have been in office since December 2017, after former President Mugabe resigned. And
yes.
Considering the circumstances around the change of government, was there a proper handover, takeover within your ministry?
Of course, you know that ministries run with officials as well. The issue basically is that, and I was in the Ministry of Higher and Tertiary Education. I was just a professor at the University of Sumatra.
Okay.
And I was part of the ministry, not part of the governance, but part of the ministry.
As a lecturer?
As a professor.
As a professor, I beg your pardon.
Remember, a lecturer as a junior person? I was now a professor,
At the University of Zimbabwe. Roger that.
At the University of Zimbabwe, I'm just joking anyway. But the issue basically is that I am not new to the ministry. So there is not much in terms of higher and tertiary education that I have to learn. Of course, I learn every day, but I'm saying I have the basics.
Okay, so you cannot be accused of having any form of inconsistencies in terms of policies and how the ministry is run, especially considering the circumstances, like I did say, as to how you were then put into office.
In other words, I mean, when you are doing some work, you have to be open to advice and criticisms and so forth. It's fair. But what I can assure you is that we are anathema to policy inconsistency. We do what we say, and we move the path that we determine. In other words, we follow what we call a programmatic approach. In other words, what we do is we have a target, and we move towards that target.
Okay.
So we are very consistent, but at the same time, very flexible, but the target is the same. The target is a modernized and industrialized Zimbabwe, remember? And the way we go to that target, the tactic can change from time to time, but that goal we are going to reach. That's why when we reached, when we arrived at the ministry, the first thing that we did under the leadership of His Excellency Comrade Idi Mnangagwa was to do a skills audit in Zimbabwe, because we're a manpower development ministry. So we did a skills audit, and this skills audit revealed one thing: 94% literacy, as you talked about, but 38% skills levels. So you can see that the problem that we have in Zimbabwe is very high literacy but very low skills levels. And I always joke, but it's not a joke anyway, it's the truth. I say, maybe that's why we have potholes. Because people are pondering over potholes, not filling them up with their hands. So the issue, basically, the job that we have is to make sure that our skills levels are matching the literacy levels. So that,
and currently they're not matching.
Of course, it's 38% versus
94%,
right. And you can see that there is a 58%, is it?
Roughly.
Yes, 94%, 56% skills gap.
And what is the plan to fix that gap?
The gap, to fix it, is to make sure, first of all, that we have reconfigured our education, as I said, from education 3.0 to education 5.0. Because innovation and industrialization cannot be done using pontification. It has to be done using hands. So we say, like I always quote the Midland State University sort of motto, they say, our minds, our hands, our destiny. This is our strategy, therefore. What we are doing is to make sure that we have configured that education so that it provides goods and services. goods and services cannot be provided, as I said, using pontification. They can only be produced using skills and hands. So our job is to do skills. Now, after the skills audit, what we then did was to try and make sure that we realign our education. First of all, I said education 5.0. Next, we said we are going to do a national qualifications framework. And in the national qualifications framework, which is now a statutory instrument, what we are trying to achieve is to make sure, or what we are trying to do, or what we are doing actually, is to make sure that every certificate that we give, every diploma that we give, every degree that we give must promise, it must have a body of knowledge which says when our students enter through this door and when they get out, there will be this one. So in other words, what we are saying is that if you are training hunters, when they get out of your training room, they must be able to hunt. All what we say is that there's no hunter who calls themselves a hunter and they've never even caught a mouse. So we are saying our education system has to have an output of a student that he has got a mind, that he has got skills. That's what the Zimbabwe National Qualifications is looking for.
So why is it that our universities continue to churn out, for example, engineers that do not engineer anything of their own? Like, have you seen any innovations? Where are the innovations?
I'm telling you, we are realigning the education system.
So you're still in the process of realigning?
No, we have realigned it. I'm saying it's already a statutory instrument of Zimbabwe National Qualifications.
So where are the innovations, Honorable?
They are there. Uh-huh. We are, in the meantime, building innovation hubs. Innovation is one of our main missions, actually. And we are building innovation hubs at 6 state universities as a physical infrastructure. But in terms of the soft infrastructure, it's already there because the mission is Education 5.0.
Uh-huh.
That's the first thing that we did. Then the innovation hubs that we are building, I think at the University of Zimbabwe, we are 99% complete.
You also have one at MSU.
MSU is already complete. It's already functional. You know, they commissioned tiles and so forth. We have at Chinoy, where they are actually, they will be one of the biggest artificial insemination technologies at Chinoy, University of Technology. These are the innovations that we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
At HIT, and you must have recently heard that HIT has now innovated a transformer, and they are doing a lot of interesting things at HIT. But what we are saying is that in order for their work to be worth, we have to have a system. The issue is in the design. I want to explain this.
Please
when
we do.
About design. I've given an example that a wheel is circular. It is a formula. The formula of a circle is pi r squared. And if you try to take an octagon and make it a wheel, that car won't move. In other words, the design of an octagon does not make a wheel. Now, what am I saying? The education of Zimbabwe was teaching research and community service. But from this education system, we were expecting that people will produce cars, people will produce nice roads, people will produce nice food. How do they do it? With these three things,
it's not possible.
It's not possible. So that's why we redesigned the system so that it is innovation and industrialization, so that we release the energy from our youths, we release the energy from our professors by giving them the right design that makes them be able to produce something. Remember, a game is won or lost in the design. But so the design was wrong.
But is it not a duplicate? Speaking of the innovation hubs that you spoke about, that you have at 6 state universities that you spoke about, is this not a duplication of what the ICT ministry has been doing with the innovation fund of opening innovation hubs across the country? Is it not a duplication of resources, a duplication of efforts?
I think I have explained to you very well what is the function of the Ministry of Higher and Tertiary
mm-hmm.
Education. The Ministry of Higher and Tertiary Education is every sector. You would not be talking on this radio station if these things were not produced using education. So everybody, if you look at it...
But these things were not produced in Zimbabwe.
It doesn't matter. It's the education system. Because I call myself a scientist. I happen to be in Zimbabwe, but I'm applicable everywhere. So I'm saying an education system produces things. That's all what I'm trying to say. A Minister of Higher and Tertiary Education, it actually trains all manpower. Every other manpower, including builders and artisans. So what I'm saying is that the Minister of Higher and Tertiary Education cannot duplicate anybody. In other words, the Minister of Higher and Tertiary Education can have manpower in every ministry. So what every ministry does, if government is doing very well and its civil servants, it means the Minister of Higher and Tertiary Education is doing its job. If it's doing badly, I take the blame. So the issue basically is that when you look at the Minister of Higher and Tertiary Education, you are looking at every sector.
So everything that every other ministry does is a reflection of how successful your ministry is.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's so the burden that we have.
You spoke about consistency in your ministry, Honorable, and you said that the target is the same. You're trying to achieve the same goal.
Yes.
Government launched the STEM program in 2016 in order to promote sciences, and speaking passionately about science and technology.
Yeah, for sure.
And it is a global initiative. We can agree on that. But in 2018, which is just last year, you did say that you will not be paying for any more students are on the STEM program, and you're only going to continue with the ones that are already enrolled. Why? I mean, you spoke about consistency. You spoke about sticking to the target. Why are you going back on STEM?
We are extremely consistent. STEM means science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And one of the things that is not new. Let's not confuse A-level scholarships with the STEM program. A-level scholarships is a different issue altogether.
So your issue is on the scholarships?
I have no issue. I'm talking about consistency. How do we try to achieve science, technology, engineering, and mathematics? And I'm going to tell you now. One, in order to have students pass, you need teachers. So we are supporting STEM in a very big way. Let me tell you how. We are training teachers first. How do you send students to go and do physics in a school with no physics teacher? How do you go and send a student to do mathematics at a school where there is no mathematics teacher? And you are paying a lot of money. Do you think you'll be successful? I don't think so. What we have just done is to say the best way to achieve a stematized country is to train science teachers. So what have we done? We have converted Mkoba Teachers College to start training science teachers at secondary level for the first time since it was born. We have also done the same thing at Joshua Mkabu Kongomo in Gwanda to start training science teachers for the first time since it was born. We did the same thing for Mashingo Teachers College, and by May last year, we had recruited 330 science teachers. Our target is 5,000 science teachers by 2023. What does that mean? One teacher trains many students. One student, you don't have even the assurance that they will go and pass or they will go and do a science degree. So what we are doing is doing the right medicine so that we have the teachers first, the laboratories first at the schools, before you just try to give people money. I told you, the problem is with the design. Mm-hmm. It's not about the subject matter. It's the design. How to achieve using a correct design. I said an octagon and a circle are different. If you try to do the work of a circle using an octagon, you are definitely going to fail. Africa has always had the problem. One of the problems that we have been having on the continent has been reading the wrong manual. If you read the wrong manual and you are trying to fix a Samsung phone using a Nokia manual, you can try it for the rest of your life. You will know you have no solution. What we are saying is that our design He has to be correct for the solution that we desire.
Well, some reports have suggested that this was a political issue. I mean, considering that your predecessor, the one who introduced the STEM program, Professor Jonathan Moi, is not exactly a favorite of the current administration. How would you speak to those reports?
I don't want to comment about people.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I focus on concepts. I will tell you what I call real change. Real change is not concentrating on fighting the old. Real change is brought by creating the new. We are busy creating a new environment. That's what we are doing. So the issue basically of saying person X, person Y, and so forth, yes, some people can spend their time doing that, but I'm telling you, we are too busy. We don't have time to do that. We have an education to look after, and this education must produce goods and services, and we have redesigned that education from the traditional 3.0 to 5.0. Let me tell you what we have done on STEM as well. We have started recruiting apprentices for the first time. Remember, without apprentices who are doing technology, you and me will not be sitting here and talking like this. So apprentices are very important in the STEM initiative. And for the first time this year, since 2012, we have recruited already 1,000 apprentices. And we are recruiting 1,000 more by May. We are having 2,000 apprentices this year to make sure that our STEM functions properly. And remember, when we are doing our innovation hubs, our industrialization, that's STEM. So STEM is there to live, and we are there to support it. By the way, I'm a scientist as well.
Yes, your curriculum, I was looking at your qualifications. It says you hold a PhD in geoinformation science.
Yes.
Yes, so yes, you are very quite savvy in those areas.
Yes.
We have the Minister of Higher and Tertiary Education, Science and Technology Development, Professor Eamon Murira, and he's speaking about the ministry's mandate and the focus for this year. If you have any questions for him, our WhatsApp number is 0731-168-045. Now, you speak passionately about technology, innovation, and in science, Professor Murira.
That's correct.
And what is the plan in investing in technology in universities as well as tech service stuff? Because I can give you an example. As we speak, there's some institutions that require students to hand in letters. Maybe you want to defer a semester, you have to hand in a letter physically to the university. You know, I'll give an example at the Harare Polytechnic. If you want to get your certificate, you have to produce your receipt for graduation. If you can't find your receipt, you have to pay for a search fee so they find their receipt for graduation. It's such a tedious process. Like, these are just examples. What's the plan there to make sure that our systems are technologically advanced and then they're not an inconvenience to students and move on with the times?
Yes. We are actually working on a higher and tertiary education information management system. We are changing this higher and tertiary education system. That's why I was saying, when you talk about the old, we can describe it in many words, but we are looking at a future, and that future, I really like it. It's a future of hard work, it's a future of targets, it's a future of technology, it's a future of science, it's a future of a modernized and industrialized Zimbabwe. To this end, what I'm saying is, we are really modernizing these institutions.
How are we doing this, and when are we going to see results?
If you go to the universities now, I normally don't want to talk about things that we wish to do. I talk about things that we are doing. When we are talking about the innovation hubs where everything will happen, so far each of them has $1 million for equipment, all of those six. And so far we are making sure that all our systems are digitized. If you go to the University of Zimbabwe, you go to Chinoy, you go to almost all our universities, they are not talking about those physical things that you are talking about. We are working on the polytechnics, and today, just in Cabinet has given us a go-ahead to amend the Manpower Development Planning and Development Act to make sure that we have given more power, more initiative to polytechnics as well as teachers' colleges and vocational training centers and industrial training colleges.
Okay, how long is this amendment going to take?
No. We just watch this space. We are not slow at all.
But we need answers, by March. Honorable. Okay, thank you.
By
March
you'll see
time.
Answers. We don't have time to dilly-dally. Let me just tell you. We don't have time to dilly-dally at all. We are serious. We don't politic with national visions and national things.
You know why I'm asking about time frames, Honorable, is absolutely. We have issues with government saying we are doing this, we are working to amend this, we're working to do this. And sometimes you talk about processes that maybe as a general populace we don't quite understand.
What
we want to know is when are we going to see results? When are we going to see this information system that you're speaking about in universities? When am I going to stop queuing as a student to pay my fees when I can just do it online? So we need time frames. You did say that this amendment is going to happen in March, and then thereafter, where are we going to see actual results that people can actually move
on? I just paid fees for my Wazukuru 2 days ago. I did it online at the University of Zimbabwe. It's already happening. It might not be as widespread as we need, but what we are saying is that we are on the move. And normally, I don't want to say we will just go to the institutions today and see the work that we are doing, and you'll see the results.
We are the platform. We have the Minister of Higher and Tertiary Education.
The platform. Step up and speak out.
Welcome back to the platform. I am Mona Lisa Dube. This evening we are joined by Professor Amon Murida, who is the Minister of Higher and Tertiary Education, Science and Technology Development. And this evening we are discussing issues to do with his ministry. And if you have any questions, concerns that you want us to run by the professor, our WhatsApp number is 0731-168-045. Now, Professor, there is a very unpopular issue that is currently happening in a lot of tertiary institutions, sexual harassment.
Yes.
They call it a thigh for a mark. When you want a mark, you need to have sexual favors to the lecturer. Have you received any reports on this matter?
I must say that my ministry is zero tolerance towards sexual harassment, and in all statutes of our institutions this is actually ordained. Institutions deal decisively with these issues, and they have deterrent policies to make sure it's prevented. And when it happens, it's punished heavily.
Which institutions, Honorable? Because from a survey that was done by the Female Students Network, the majority of these institutions do not have sexual harassment policies. And as DFM Stereo, we received a case from, I'm not sure if I'm at liberty to mention the name of the university, where a student had to defer. And up to this day, they did not manage to complete their degree because of this issue. So when you say institutions have deterrent measures, which institutions?
Our laws, because we have policy frameworks, the policy frameworks and the legal frameworks do not allow it. The academic rules do not allow it. When it's reported and it's found, it's punished heavily. So there is zero tolerance in terms of legal, in terms of statute, in terms of regulation, academic and otherwise at our institutions. My job is to look at whether we have got adequate rules to prevent this, and I say we do.
Okay.
Enforcement and reporting are the two instruments that are used to stop it when the rules are there.
Do you have any case in point where a lecturer actually received heavily punishment, as you put it across, because of sexual harassment? Because the reports we are getting is that they're getting away with it.
I can tell you that if these things are being reported using the channels that should be used, they are dealt with. But you know where I am, I'm at policy. Universities have got councils, and they senate, and there are disciplinary processes at those universities. I cannot claim that there are statistics at my desk, but what I can tell you is that there are rules at my desk that deal with these things. And there are people who are mandated at that level to deal with these issues and make sure that those things don't happen. We don't have a Zimbabwean brain to waste That's exactly our policy.
Do you? What is your policy as a ministry on maybe general student-lecturer relationships? Because we hear lecturers marrying students, and we had, I think it was the Midland State University, when there was this love triangle that went south and people committed suicide and there were lecturers and students involved. What is your policy?
The policy is very simple. I said there should not be any relationship that sours issues of academic performance, issues of impropriety in terms of how work is conducted at universities and the harassment of our students. But let me tell you, at universities there are students who are above 18 years old, and there are only certain things that you can control. But what we say is that nothing has to interfere with work. Nothing has to interfere, because harassment by itself, by definition, is a crime, isn't it?
But you can't take away the power factor that is in these relationships, Honorable. Of course, they are adults, but there is always that power factor.
Yeah, that's why the rules are there. You know what? If they say don't steal, and the law says don't steal, that law has to be enforced, isn't it? But the legislature would have done its work by saying stealing is a criminal offense. That's why at the end of the day, the jails have people. What does that mean? It means that people can do wrong. Are there rules to deal with them? That's where policy intervenes. So it's about the presence and absence of rules. And I'm saying the rules are present.
But that is not on the, that's not what's on the ground. I think that's ideally how you'd want to be, that there should be sexual harassment policies in these institutions. But the fact of the matter, Honorable, is that there are no sexual harassment institution policies in these institutions. And if a matter of sexual harassment is reported, there is no precedence on how to deal with these matters. Because the laws, as you might say, they you might want them to be there, but they might not be clear. Because they're saying that the student charters are not properly catering to these issues, and female students especially are being affected with this matter.
I know you are talking about a very emotive subject, but at the same time we have to not use sweeping statements, because sweeping statements are very easy to say. Zimbabwe is going down the drain, some people say Zimbabwe is developing. Where are the statistics? The issue basically, when I tell you the issue of solving issues or not solving them is in the design. And one of the things that is with this country, as I was telling you, 95% literacy, 38% skills level. What does that mean in terms of performance in our systems? It means we have people who talk a lot. That's how I summarize it.
It's not just speculation. They need to report these matters. They need to be documented.
Everything has to be reported so that due process can take place.
Okay.
Otherwise, it remains unsolved. If it's reported and facts are laid bare, there are a lot of cases that we know have been dealt with and people have been dismissed.
All right, we have questions that are coming through our WhatsApp platform. Minister, it's really difficult to get an internship or attachment in the STEM space, especially when pursuing courses like mining engineering. You look at companies that don't want students at their operations. How can it be fixed? Because I cannot open my own mini mine as a student to get experience.
The issue is in the design, as I was saying. We have designed our education so that it becomes 5.0, where innovation and industrialization are part of the game. Through the industrialization agenda, we are aiming at industrial parks that are attached to our universities. But at the same time, we are working with the private sector to make sure that there is a clear relationship between our industry and our institutions. Remember, it's a design issue. I will explain again. Industry that has been in this country largely was designed by universities that are outside of this country. So when we saw industry coming into this country, it would look like it was falling from the sky. But no, some university at some country somewhere was thinking about these things. I'm basically trying to tell you that industry comes from universities.
Okay, so you keep talking about the design. When is this education 5.0 going to materialize?
We've done it.
No, it's there. But yes. When are we going to reap results from it? When are you expecting
it? You are going
it?
To start now, because I've told you about innovation hubs. And I've told you talking about industrial parks. We are going to start the first industrial park in in Harare at the University Farm, University of Zimbabwe Farm, in March. So we are going to do this, and this is what we are going to do. This much, and we have the budget.
And
the budget was already, for the first time, the budget, the Finance Act, talked about innovation. It talked about industrial parks, which are linked to higher and tertiary education institutions. You can actually see that we are moving the right direction.
And your ministry was allocated about 380 million for this?
It was allocated overall 380 million. But for industrial parks and innovation hubs, we allocated about 20 million.
Mm-hmm.
All what we are saying is that it's a good direction.
So what does the student do, this one who's saying they can't find attachment right now?
No, they will find attachment. The issue basically is that they are companies that attach. One of the issues that we have to solve is what I call in the qualifications framework is the bodies of knowledge that we are using at the end of the day. If you expect one company that is in Zimbabwe to absorb all students, it's not possible. So we have to redesign. I'm telling you, if I want you to think about it well after this interview, that we win or lose a game in the design. If you put a goalkeeper on number 9 and you're playing soccer...
And you have so much faith in your design, the current design that
it works, yes.
Okay, let's move on.
It's not only faith. Mm-hmm. We have the facts that it works.
Okay. Yeah. We have Naimona Lisa Tifunziro Prof. Issue Yema certificates per poly. We are failing to be trade tested. Achabudarini or aren't they alternative because we are being derailed?
Those are operation.
System, yeah.
No, those are very operational matters, which are very specific to the poly. The minister is sitting on policy. And if there are specific issues with a specific institution, they will report to that specific institution. If there's a problem, then they will report to the director of TVET at the ministry to find out that those problems get solved.
This is from Charles from Mutare. The minister is saying that training science teachers, while there are many graduate teachers who are jobless, why train them when you don't give them jobs?
Zimbabwe does not have enough teachers. Don't confuse lack of budget to recruit teachers and the fact that it does not mean that we have enough teachers in this country. In actual fact, we have a huge shortage of science teachers in this country. So one of the issues which I've always told my students at Poly and at teachers' colleges is that, would you rather not go to school? Then when the teaching job comes up and you are saying you are waiting until jobs are there, you will find out that the job is there but you don't have a teaching certificate. So I would rather have a trained person who is waiting for a job than an untrained person waiting for training so that they can get a job later. So it's the design.
As you keep saying. Okay, let's talk about student grants. Where are we in this? I mean, earlier on you suggest, I think it was last year when you said you had found a South African financier. You also spoke about that government has a 1 billion facility in some reports. What's going on with the student grants and loans?
Let me correct you. We've got a 50 million RBZ facility, which is dispersed through banks. And we also have got a $10 million facility from Edulon or Fundi from South Africa. Now, what has been our problem? And we've got more than 10,000 students who are already on loans right now. But there is a bit of a problem in the design. Let me talk about the design of the loan. In the meantime, students are asked to produce payslips to access those loans. But, you know, not everybody has a payslip. We have been grappling with this issue since 1 December 2017. And I'll tell you what we have now. Now, we are working on how best we can guarantee our students to get those loans. And this
year... We are working on this.
And I'll tell you the results of that work. The work has resulted in us being given $8 million by the fiscus. What are we going to do with that $8 million? We are going to make sure that we use this $8 million to unlock the $50 million from the Reserve Bank. What does that mean? We are going to have it as a risk fund to guarantee those students, to buffer the bank from potential defaulting students. But we are not saying that students should default and not pay at all. I think for our country to work, everybody has to work for it. But we know that Different people have money at different times. That's why we are having this facility. In the meantime, we have made a draft contract with a bank to make sure that we start to operationalize this. So it was not the availability of money, it was the access to that money.
So currently, can a student access these loans, or you're still working on...
Currently, the students can access the loans. But in the meantime, as we speak today, they would then be using the old method, which we are trying to destroy. And... introduce the one which is backed by the $8 million facility.
Okay.
But loans, students can access loans today. But those loans are not being accessed using the method that we think is most suitable.
And you're still working on this. And you said that you have noted that this was a problem since the 1st of January. If I didn't get you said the 1st of December 2017.
Yes.
So since then, till now, you've been working to make that possible.
Yes, because the fiscal year starts on another year.
Yes.
Yes.
So my point, Honorable, is taking, you seem, as the government, you seem to take a lot of time trying to make things work without actually them working.
I think you are using sweeping statements.
Okay.
Mona Lisa, because now, discourage you from using
saying this because
otherwise it will
this
reflect
is a
that
concern.
95% literacy, you remember?
A concern has been raised. The point is, a concern has been raised that people cannot access student loans.
Yeah.
And you rightfully said that the system is not it's not conducive for them to operate these loans. And you're working to make
them
done.
And you take time to do that. You don't just react like knee-jerk. Knee-jerk is a wrong design. You do things wrong if you do knee-jerk reactions. These are finances, and banks are there to make money. We cannot collapse banks using our students.
Okay, so
we want to make sure that we do things that are commercially meaningful to the bank, but at the same time socially responsible for the student. And all what we are trying to do is to make sure that our students, because remember, the Ministry of Higher and Tertiary Education is a ministry of students.
Absolutely.
If there are no students, there's no ministry. So my job is to make sure that the facilities for my students are okay, the financial infrastructure is okay, the teachers are okay, the physical infrastructure is okay. However, yes, I cannot justify that to say we are fast or we are slow. But what I'm very sure of is that we are not sleeping, we are doing something.
So as a student, say I'm a student, I want a loan and I want it without the old system. When can I get a loan?
They want. I also want to teach my students. I want to go to mass tomorrow. Will I?
So they have to be patient.
There has to be systems, they have to be right. Or what I'm saying is that, Mona Lisa, tomorrow, I want $1 billion. So wanting is not a problem.
Okay. Having worked as a lecturer, I also feel that students are taking advantage of the protection of students. The downside is, as a lecturer, when your reputation is damaged, it's damaged. Why? Because a student lie. I think this is a comment regarding the issue of sexual harassment that we're discussing earlier.
Yes.
And there's another comment here. It looks like it's a question, rather. Professor, why do I have to do 4 years at university while I have done HND at Polytechnic, where I've spent 6 years? Surely I'm being compared by a student coming straight out of high school. Can you work on this, Prof? That's from Bert in Isli.
Oh, thank you very much for that question. Let me just tell you good news. We have got Statutory Instrument 132, Statutory Instrument 137, and Statutory Instrument 133 of 2018 that were gazetted on the 20th of July 2018 that we developed, which are giving effect to the Zimbabwe National Qualifications Framework. This framework assures paths for vertical mobility for our students. Students coming from poly going to university will now be exempted from courses if they were doing civil engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Surely they cannot start going to do introduction to civil engineering at the University of Zimbabwe.
Which is usually the case.
Which is usually the case. We have already abandoned it. It was ordained by this Statutory Instrument 132 last July. And what we are doing now with ZimChair, we are working on compliance, and we have put February 2020 as the deadline that all universities should have complied to this statutory instrument. So what he is asking or she is asking is a thing that we have already solved. It is an issue that when students go to university, they either go via A-level, or they go via Polytechnic, or they go via the Industrial College, or they go via a teacher's college, we have taken consideration of that. We did not stop there. What we then did also was to make sure that degrees are horizontally comparable. If you are doing civil engineering at the University of Zimbabwe and you are doing civil engineering at the National University of Science and Technology and at Chinoy, today the courses will be different. But the statutory instrument says there has to be 70 to 80% overlap in these courses.
Which you said they should fix by February 2020.
Yes, because they are working on it now, because the courses cannot be changed just like that. So they are working on these regulations to make sure that Zimbabwe's education system is transparent within itself, allows students to transfer. When they were doing civil engineering at the University of Zimbabwe, they can go to NUST and finish off their degree and so forth. Or students who are coming from poly, there is recognition of prior knowledge or prior training. All degrees, you have to recognize prior training.
Absolutely.
So this is a solved issue.
And the issue of accommodation used to be, it's a very huge issue at the university. What is the plan? I know, I think last year you had majored, you had spoken about majoring with the private sector. How is that coming along?
It's coming out very well. Let me tell you one of the things. Again, I will tell you about designing systems. We did a survey of our students first. And we have got 180,000 students within the higher and tertiary education sector. And unfortunately, only about 15,000 are in student accommodation. It is a problem, but it's a huge business opportunity. For the first time, government is saying it's not only us who can build student accommodation. Call in the private sector, let them invest in student accommodation, let them collect the residence fees until they have recovered their investment, and then they can give the buildings to us. Government, for the first time, we are saying government has no business in owning a building of accommodation from day one at a university. So we have abandoned the public service investment program model, and we are going for the investment model. So far, we have had a lot of agreements, which, of course, they have to take. They take their time. It's not like peeling nuts, no? They have to do their feasibility, they have to do their town designs and so forth and so on to make sure that it's done. But I'm telling you, I'm saying, watch this space. This year, things are going to begin. And we know for sure that for NUST, we have agreement to build the NUST Medical School. That is going to be done by Bank ABC. We have received funding, also money, from CBZ, about 50 million, to build student accommodation at
Has been secured.
I don't talk about things that we wish. That's why I'm saying a lot, but then I'm giving you specific examples.
All right. And in light of the current economic challenges, should we expect an increase in fees for tertiary institutions?
We have decided. I have been meeting with principals, and I've also been meeting with vice chancellors to say this year remember, the Minister of Higher and Tertiary Education must be containing those strategists and professors. And if we have to keep the inflation down, higher and tertiary education institutions, as the leading people in terms of, they are mandated to do the brain work. We are thinking, and we said, no, we are not going to contribute to inflation, so we are not going to raise any fees. However, the only thing that we reviewed is accommodation because of food. That's an externality. Tuition fees, we are not increasing them. We have no thought of increasing them this year. Not at all.
So, but it's the residential fees that people might anticipate increasing.
For some, we have already increased. But University of Zimbabwe, for example, have said they are not going to increase. Even accommodation fees, they are not going to increase.
But they did say in their notice they're going to review the situation.
The situation is going to be reviewed because, remember, we are not, that's an externality. What we issue is tuition. That's the expense for teaching and for materials and so forth. On that one, tuition is what we control. Accommodation, remember, Mona Lisa, is optional. But we don't grow the food. But at the same time, let me tell you one good news. We have said every college, every university must have a farm. And we are looking towards also eliminating these increases in accommodation fees in the near future, like next year, by these kinds of plans. Let me tell you one thing which I think can be very important. We want to reduce the fees as an income stream to universities.
Which has been the case
want,
for past
years. Yes, we want the income stream of our universities and colleges to be coming from investments, to be coming from innovation, to be coming from industrialization, such that universities and colleges would rather give intelligent people scholarships so that they can enhance their businesses. You see, we are trying to invert this model. But the most important thing is to tell you that there is not going to be any increase in tuition fees in our higher and tertiary education institute. We want to contribute to suppressing inflation in this economy.
Okay, we have a number of questions that are coming through. Someone is asking about the STEM students. They just labeled it worried citizens. Those 10 or minus 10,000 pupils that you recruited under STEM, you have abandoned because of no money. Now you are starting another program you call University Hub or whatever you call it. Mariacho Irikopi, and then you create... Okay, he's saying a lot of things.
Now, let's be fair. Mm-hmm. These students are not abandoned. They had their fees paid. Sometimes, Tendai Mchero. The issue basically is that these students were actually sent to school and they were actually able to have A level. We cannot have our cake and eat it at the same time. I think we have to be fair. We did not abandon anybody. And at universities, we are saying, you can come. We are working on a loan scheme to have you come into university. So the issue basically is not give, have. The issue is produce for your country.
That's which is what your new design, which
you yes, it's produce, not just, I want to have this, and I want to tell you, I also want to have a rocket to go to Mars today.
Are you saying that people are asking for too much, Honorable? Are you saying
No, I'm just saying it is a duty of every citizen to make this country move. And sometimes we have to be thankful. All those 10,000 students were given scholarships, A level, from Form 5 to Form 6. They actually went to school. So I would rather say thank you, but we can do more. And I'm saying we are doing more. So the issue basically is not to start to say, I want to have this, I want to... You end up saying, I also want you to have a box of oxygen for me. I'm lazy to breathe.
All right, so we have a lot of universities world over. We have people in universities and they get, you know, a lot of millions of dollars in patent fees for the innovations. Yes. What is the plan in Zimbabwe as far as innovations by students?
That's what Education 5.0 is designed for. That's why we are doing innovation. And in those innovation hubs, we shall be meeting private companies. And we're in talks with huge private companies that are interested in this program. We are saying we shall industrialize this country based on knowledge. Knowledge shall drive this country. And what I want to say, a country can never be developed using five senses. Five senses: taste, sight, smell, seeing, and feel. No, a country is developed through consciousness and the sixth, seventh, eighth sense, that is about innovation and industrialization. So our plan is to industrialize this country and to do it through knowledge and recognizing the skills of our people and channeling them correctly. The issue is in the design, and the design is 5.0 and heritage.
Baba Mukundi from Domboshava is saying that I graduated in 2017, but ndirikungo kia kuno ku Domboshava kutorima my tomatoes chaiwo. If I wanted to farm, I should have gone to an agricultural college and not into agriculture college. I trained as a science teacher at Belvedere. Takaendere kuchikoro kwacho kana tishaya mabasa.
If the design of that education system was resulting in a person who just talk, it's a problem. What we are trying to do with our Education 5.0 is to make sure that people create jobs. Jobs don't fall from the sky. So we cannot abrogate from a national responsibility of using innovation to move forward. I encourage all my students to say, see at what you studied and practice it. Don't complain. The issue is, it's okay to complain, but normally you occupy 90% of your mind with worry and then you leave 10% for thinking. Liberate the mind. Let's work for this country. Let's change the mindset.
Do you acknowledge, Honorable, that the average Zimbabwean is going through a tough time right now in this economy, and that is why we are getting comments like this?
No, the issue basically is that when you are faced with tough times, Do you cry? No. You strategize to move forward. When you are in a difficult situation, if that's the chance for higher and tertiary education to solve, it's time to look at how our education can solve. Because we can agree to mourn, it's okay. But I think I want to say, let's agree to design, let's agree to move forward, let's agree to use our minds. Our heads are not coconuts, they are brains. We have brilliant people. All these people are brilliant people. That's why you find out that they find alternatives to do certain things.
But they also need an enabling environment for
them. That's exactly why we are creating it using 5.0.
And as we round off the program quickly, last year you did speak about having, you want to look into having, I think, 4 new universities. Where are we with that?
No, we were not going to create new ones.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to develop master plans for already instituted university, like Marondera University of Science and Technology, of Agricultural Science and Technology. We have got Manicaland University of Appliances, Applied Sciences, and we have got Gwanda State University, and then we have got Mineros University. We want to operationalize these universities. We did not create any new universities. These were already created, but we developed their master plans, and their master plans were developed and finished in July. In the meantime, we are busy looking for investment for them so that we begin. We have already hired vice chancellors for Marondera. We have hired a vice chancellor for Gwanda. We are still looking into finalizing appointing a vice chancellor in Manicaland, and we will be appointing a vice chancellor for Mineros University. So we will be operationalizing this. We don't have an immediate plan of creating any new university. We have plans for making sure that the universities that are there are empowered to education 5.0 so that this country develops. This country will develop based on the brains of its people.
That's all we have time for this evening. Thank you so much, Professor Amon Murida, who is the Minister of Higher and Tertiary Education, Science and Technology Development. I hope we'll have you another opportunity to have you here on the program to follow up on all these promises you've been making us, to say that by March 2020 this is going to be done. By March this year, you did say that a lot of operation will be going on. So we are going to have you back on the program to check you on some of the things that you did say.
You go on the ground and you see the results. Go to the ground.
Okay, we'll do that. That's all we had time for. I am Annalisa Dube, and this is The Platform. Up next is Health Matters with Larry Quididai.